Our last study in the book of Job, we were looking at a reproof from the Almighty in chapters 38 through 40, and we looked at the Lord's message. He came to Job. If you will remember, we looked at some of the things that he began to speak about. He began to call out things in the sea to Job. Then he looked at the stellar heavens above, and he looked at Pleiades and the cords of Orion, and we talked about the magnitude of God's expanse, the incredible creation that's out there. And I just read an article this afternoon that said there was a 747 size asteroid that just barely escaped the Earth, and the scientists didn't even know it was coming. Could not help but when I read that and I thought about God is such an incredible, awesome God. When he chooses to move those things, they'll move, whether the scientists are able to see it and to know it and to be prepared for it or not. He went on in Job 39. He spoke about the animal kingdom that we looked at. He spoke about various created animals, and as he began to talk about each one of those, and then he spoke about the hawk that soars in the sky, and it's almost as if he is saying to Job, Job, I just want you to come away for a little while. I want you to just think with me for a little while. Just find a few moments of escapism. I think all of us at times in life have to have our own escapism, wherever, whatever that may be. And then it's almost as if God was just telling Job as he began to share the incredibleness of the creation and the created order. And we looked at can the created say to the creator, and we know that we do, but yet whenever you consider the awesomeness of an awesome God, it's incredible. And then Job gave his humble response in chapter 40, verse 3 through 5. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am insignificant. Whenever you think, if tonight you and I could just God speak from heaven audibly to us, if we could just be given an incredible tour of the heavenlies that are out there, if we could just see the awesomeness and the vast expanse of God's created order, not to even mention all of the wonderful places all over the world that we would see in scenic views that are iconic to all of us. But I am sure that we, like Job, would say, behold, I am insignificant. We would be like a teardrop in the oceans of life compared to God's incredibleness. But yet in all of Job's humility and all of the relief and all of the surrender, Job wanted to just have an audience with God. And then Job gives a second response. What can I reply to you? What can I reply to you? When I sang that song a few moments ago, the Lord laid that song on my heart today, and I said, God, if I'm supposed to sing it, then let me feel it. I don't want to sing just to sing. I don't want to play just to play. I want your Holy Spirit to sing through me. I want your Holy Spirit to play through me. If I'm supposed to do it, may I feel that? May I know that? If not, then I don't want to do that. And I think that all of us in our lifetimes, that's the way we ought to approach life. Job gave a third response. He finally puts his hand up over his mouth because he realizes in the presence of awesome God. And God went through the created order. God went through the zoology there as he spoke to him about all of the incredible things in the animal kingdom as well as in the sea life and all of those kind of things. And so Job responds humbly. Job responds with an incredible understanding that God is so big and God is so awesome that who am I in the midst of him? But I'm significant, and yet at the same time that God is so big. Someone wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. I think most of us as Christians, we view God in such a small way. God is far greater today than anything that you and I will ever experience in life. I'm so grateful that we've got the whole book. We've got the end of the book. We've got the middle of the book. We've got the beginning of the book to know how the story will someday end. That is the only thing I think that brings peace and comfort and strength and hope to life every single day. I'm learning to leaning on the everlasting arms. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Stay by me, precious Lord, guide me through each day. I want to conclude last Sunday evening. Well, we didn't do it last Sunday evening. We spent the time singing. But I want to leap from Job's day to our day today. What does this say to me about the Lord finally, after 36, 37 chapters, God is totally silent? I think one of the proper practical applications for you and me in the book of Job is this. I think it is that there's so little of life that we truly understand. And there is so much of grief and heartache and all kinds of issues and problems all over the world. I was listening to a news article a little bit ago where the people were talking in India. 1.4 billion of the world's 7.5 billion people, 1.4 of them live in India alone. They were showing a village where the people had no electricity. They had no water, hardly at all. And they were trying to figure out how they were going to exist in the days to come. And I thought about us in America. The news commentator was saying this: the people who live in the West, which is us, little understand those kinds of things because we don't have to deal with those on a daily basis. And then when I thought about the border and all that's happening there, and all of the untold thousands that are trying to flee and escape where they live to come to America, and yet we probably each, if we are honest enough, ask ourselves, how can America sustain all that we are seeing when there's so many people in our own country who are hungry, who cannot make it through the journey that they're going through? The only thing I know that you and I do is lean. I'm leaning on Jesus. I lean on Jesus when I don't understand. I lean on Jesus when my questions are far beyond any answers that I'm given. I, through faith, lean and believe and trust and know that somewhere in the midst of all of that, that God knows my name. God has the hairs counted on our head. He numbered our days, as the 139th Psalm tells us. He fashioned our days. He wrote them in his book. And then I look at Job and I wonder, leaping from Job's day hundreds and hundreds of years ago to our present day, what are three messages that you and I can read between the lines of Job's response? I want to give you those tonight as we close out this session. We'll soon be through with the book of Job on Sunday morning when I finish the series of spiritual warfare. And I cannot tell you how many people have said to me, I'm dealing with spiritual warfare every single day of my life. What a great time to study spiritual warfare and to understand that the enemy is alive at large out there. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's where we are. I'm going to begin a David Jeremiah study on Sunday morning for several weeks on where do we go from here, talking about a socialistic government and all of the changes that are taking place in America. And what are you and I supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? And so we're going to be looking at that in the days to come. But I want to give three messages tonight, reading between the lines of Job's responses. Number one, if God's ways are higher than mine, then whatever he allows, I bow before him in submission. I want you to look at that for just a moment. If God's ways are higher than our ways, and his word says that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are beyond our thoughts, that's why you and I will never understand on this side of heaven the many questions that we have that beg for answers, because we would not in our finiteness understand nor comprehend God's eternal plan. We would never be able to understand it. That's why God doesn't answer Job in the book of Job for 37 chapters. Job is longed to have an audience before God, and God somewhere, it looks as if God just is remotely stepped off of the scene, that God is really not engaged, God is really not interested. He just set everything into motion and stepped over to the side. That's the way that it would appear to most of us as we go through this world. But God was never more present when he was absent from Job. God was standing. God was there. God was in the shadows. Someone wrote a song, said, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who hears and can answer prayer. I've been studying some of the world's religions. I've been looking at some of the false teachings and the false cults that are in society. Today, as I was reading on the Jehovah's Witnesses, I could not help but as I read that, I thought, oh, dear God, it would take 10 times more faith to believe that than what it takes for me to believe what I believe about Christianity. And yet there are many, many people who are caught up in those things. If God's ways are higher than mine, then whatever he allows, I bow before him in submission. Remember what he said when he appears on the scene, he begins to talk to Job and he says, where were you? Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know. Where were you? When I think of that, I'm just a speck in this cosmic thing called life. But God loved me so much. Even when I don't love me, God loves me. God calls me by name. God knows me by name. God sees tomorrow before tomorrow ever comes. God saw yesterday before yesterday ever was. God saw today before today ever appeared out there on the eastern horizon. Before the sun ever rose this morning and the fall breeze began to blow, nothing caught God off guard. Nothing surprised him, because his ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much beyond our thoughts. Whatever he allows, I bow before him in submission. Doesn't mean I have to like what happens, but I have to bow before the Creator God. You and I are the created tonight. We are creatures in a time-bound world that has more questions than we have answers. That's why I love that old song, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, if God's ways are higher than mine, then whatever he allows, I bow before him in submission. A second thing I read between the line in these chapters, verse chapter 38 through 40, when God steps into the scene and begins to ask 77 questions. You and I have questions. When God stepped onto the scene in these chapters, 38 through 40, when God stepped into the scene, if you go back and you examine those chapters, you will find there are some 77 questions that God just one right after the other, he posits to Job. He, tell me, Job, if you know. Tell me if you know. Of course, Job is stupefied. He is dumbfounded that in the presence of holiness, that God is so much beyond what you and I can understand. Secondly, one of the other applications I read between the lines, if God is in full control, and let's stop right there, if God, that word if, could be replaced by the word since, S-I-N-C-E. Since God is in full control, and I can assure you tonight, God's in full control. He knows all of the debris up there in all of the galaxies, in all of the heavens, in all of the light years that are out there. You know, there's some, I think, 2,400 satellites floating around up there in the heavens. I can't even begin to imagine that. I don't know about you. Oftentimes, when I'm driving down the road to and from funerals, to and from hospitals, wherever, I often think, oh God, I hope one of those things don't get mislodged and fall upon this car today. But when you think about all of those things that are out there, when you think about all the debris of asteroids that are out there, they're huge, humongous pieces of rock floating up there in the heavenlies. It's an awesome God that is in control. If God is in full control, then however he directs my steps, I follow in obedience. That's hard, isn't it? I think every one of us here tonight, if we were honest, if we took these three reads in between the lines of Job's responses and what it means to you and to me tonight, I'm confident of the fact on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being little, 10 being the best, I'm confident of the fact that each one of us would have to answer that, yes, God knows best. God knows all. God is the creator of life. In the second chapter of the book of Job, Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, I think that even though you and I, our head knowledge, we know that, we believe that, and yet we so much like those disciples. The night before Jesus went to the cross, they still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. They didn't get it until after resurrection. I'm pretty confident of the fact that you and I will never get it until after our resurrected bodies become like unto his spiritual resurrected body. I think we'll get it then. Until that time comes, I think the best we can do is lean on the everlasting arms of a merciful God who created us. He's the potter, we're the clay. If God's in full control, then however he directs my steps, I follow in obedience. I think it takes a long time, spiritually speaking, to attain to the phrase, I follow in obedience. I want you to think about that. You see, as long as everything's going well for us, as long as everything is coming up roses and daffodils, it's easy to say, I follow in obedience. But you be stricken with financial ruin. You be stricken with how am I going to put groceries on the table for my hungry children? How am I going to make it? I've lost my job. How am I going to make it in a world that is filled with more chaos than what it knows what to do with? How do you do it in a world that is filled with sickness and grief? Sadness, loneliness, isolationism. depression, anxiety. You see, if God is in full control, since God is in full control, that means he's the providential God. He's over all. He's the sovereign God. Nothing happens that he doesn't allow. And if it's allowed, there must be a reason, and I may not know the reason. God never said, Job, here's why all this happened to you. Job, there was a day that Satan and I had a visit. God never tells Job that. It's kind of interesting that you and I would wonder, God, why would you do this away? And yet, with all of our questions, it would still be a resounding silence because we would not comprehend it. So, since God is in full control, then however he directs my steps, I follow in obedience. I want to just share this. It's personal testimony, but I really think it helps. When I was teaching school, now I'd finished college and I was teaching, and I had taught for 7.5 years, and I taught in the Comanche school system English, and I had already gone back and pursued a master's degree in the field of counseling and psychology, and the school system was going to implement a guidance and a counseling program K-12. They had offered me the job, wanted me to take the job, but during that summer of that year, I knew that God was dealing with my life. I knew it happened at False Creek. I remember when it happened. I remember the night it happened. False Creek, as a teenager, I went down for special service. Wasn't sure what that would be. But I went, by the way, of public education, had a lot of plans in life to do a lot of things, and those never came about because God had a different plan, a different purpose for my life. But I can remember, they called me twice that summer. After I resigned, they called me twice for me to come back. And my mother, who did go to church, I think she thought I was crazy. My father, who didn't go to church, thought I was doing the right thing. Now, you go figure. But anyway, to say all that, I prayed 3 specific prayers. I asked God to answer 3 specific prayers for me. He did that from 1 week. By the end of a week and a half, all 3 of those prayers were answered, and I knew that I had done what I thought I was supposed to do. I'd flown to Southern California to meet with an evangelical revival team that asked me to come and be a part of their team for 2 weeks in Southern California. And when I left, now you've got to know me like I know me, okay? You've got to live in my skin. I understand what I'm like and all of these kinds of things. I mean, I've always been gung-ho about whatever I did. I got on the plane, was flying out of Dallas, and I can remember school was starting. And oh, how my heart yearned to be back there with the people I knew, doing the things that were comfortable to me. I went out to that revival, and I can tell you about the first 3 or 4 days, I was miserable. Absolutely so miserable, I thought, I'm catching the next plane back to Oklahoma. I'm going back. So I picked up the phone. I didn't want to talk to Brother Dan Pruitt because I already knew what his answer would be. So I made sure that Brother Dan was gone. And so I called Pearl, his wife. I said, Pearl, you got to help me. I'm coming home. What? She said, you can't do that. She said, you promised God. And if you don't do what you promised God. She said, boy, I fear for you. Well, she counseled the counselor for about the next hour, and I stayed through that revival. But I want you to know that if I would have listened to the enemy that was coming against me, I can assure you I would have come home and I would have missed God's will for my life. Now, there were a lot of things that I didn't understand, still don't understand, but yet in the midst of it all, however, he directs my steps. I follow in obedience. Sometimes it won't make sense. Sometimes you'll go, no, I don't think so. Sometimes you'll want to go back. But I want you to know, I remember Dan preaching a sermon one time, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, let me tell you, number three for tonight, and we close here. If God has answers I lack, then whenever he speaks, I listen in silence. Whenever he speaks. Bill.
Thanks be to God that you did.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate your vote of confidence. If God has answers I lack, then trust me, he does. Then whenever he speaks, I listen in silence. And so I want to pick these up again on Sunday night because I'm not finished with those three questions. So if you will bear with me, we will eventually get through Job in 2 or 3 weeks and we will have completed a tough journey. But I want to close there tonight because there's so much more in those three questions or those three statements that you and I can read between the lines. And I really think that in the midst of all of our non-understanding, and there's so much in the book of Job that's tough to understand. No wonder people have a tough time reading it. No wonder somebody called me this week and said, what is the difference in the King James Version and the New King James? And I said, well, the New King James just doesn't use the these and thous and thys and that old English. It just more easy flow of reading. But in these three statements, and I want to pick this up on Sunday evening, there's so much more there. I think that you and I can grasp as we look at those, as Job tried to make sense out of nonsense, but yet it was God's sense. And I think there's some things there that you and I can take and apply to our lives. Would you stand as we pray together? God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight.